Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, that there is so much you mean to unveil in us, Father. So much that you have expressed in Christ Jesus that the Holy Spirit is charged with revealing, O God, within us, perfecting and completing into our beings so that we may live victorious lives, so that we may realize that position that you have given each one of us to be unique sons of God, Father. So we pray, Lord, that as you work your salvation into our beings, as you work your word into our beings, as you manifest, O God, your thoughts into us, as you fashion us and form us, Lord, we pray that, Lord, we will become all that you want us to become, Lord. All that is hidden in Christ, Lord. And we pray that as the mystery of Christ is revealed into us, Lord, we will realize, O God, the abundance, the awesome abundance that you mean to manifest in each one of our lives, to truly unveil us as a chosen people, a people you have blessed, O God, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, a people chosen, a people anointed and appointed for a great and holy purpose, a people you have charged, O God, to unveil, O God, an awesome reality, Lord, that will fill, O God, all things in the fullness of Jesus Christ. So we pray that as you fashion and form us into your chosen vessels, Lord, let all things come forth as you have chosen them to be. Let thy will be done, Lord. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Have the Faith of God. Have the Faith of God. I brought with me today a translation of the Bible that is called Young's Literal Translation of the Holy Bible. If you have heard of Young's Concordance, you will realize it's one of those thick books. And Young's translation of the Holy Bible is to go back to the original writings and to translate them in terms of the literal language of the scriptures. So this was produced in Edinburgh in January 1898. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, which is going to be the subject of today's message. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, or rather, Jesus answering saith to them, Have faith of God. Have faith of God. For verily I say to you, that whoever may say to this mount, Be taken up and be cast into the sea, and may not doubt in his heart, but may believe that the thing that he saith do come to pass, it shall be to him whatever he may say. Because of this I say to you, all whatever praying ye do ask, believe that ye receive, and it shall be to you. So I want to focus on this word, on this phrase, have faith of God. Now last week I read to you a footnote in the Old King James translation produced by Zondervan House. It is from a Bible I've just bought in India, which has got four translations of the Bible in one volume. And there was a note that translated this phrase, have faith of God, into have the faith of God. And that's going to be the subject of today's message. Have the faith of God. Now if you look at all of your modern translations, it says have faith in God. There's a world of a difference between have the faith of God and have faith in God. So let's turn also to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And then in verse 22 and 23, Jesus goes on to say, and while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised up. He will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. But Jesus was just simply declaring his faith. All right? That he was purposed to do something. So in verse 20 of chapter 17 of Matthew, you see something called the faith of a mustard seed. And the Lord is telling us, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, right, you can say to this mountain, it shall be moved, and it will move. So what is the Lord talking about in this reality of the seed of faith? He's talking about the faith of God. He's talking about the faith of God that we have. So we put those two passages of scripture together, Mark 11 and Matthew 17. And you see that they are both talking about mountains being removed. But Mark tells us that is having the faith of God that moves the mountains. All right? It is having the faith of God that moves mountains. And Matthew tells us that if you have the faith of God to the tune of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Praise the Lord. Okay? So when was the first time we experienced the faith of God? Very simple. When the seed of God's faith was planted inside of you as the seed of Christ and you were born again. Right? And were mountains moved? Yes. Tremendous mountains that no religion in the world can remove or move were moved in your life in an instant. Right? That was the faith of God manifested to you. Am I right? Hello? That was the faith of God planted in you as the seed of Christ. Right? And that faith moved the mountain of unbelief from your heart and opened to you the light of God. And suddenly you saw that there is God, that he is there, that he is real and he is tangible. So that was your first experience of the seed of the faith of God. Are you with me? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. So God communicates his faith to us through the word of God. And God wants to explain his faith to us through the testimony of Jesus. It's very important for us to understand this. That God explains himself to us through the testimony of Jesus. And it is through the testimony of Jesus that the faith of God is explained to us. All right? Again, we will turn to the Old King James Bible to see this distinguishment between the faith of Jesus and the faith in Jesus, all right? I have dealt with this before, but let me do it again from the literal translation. It's taken out of Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians chapter 2. And we are going to start from verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And this is what it reads in the literal translation. Having known also that a man is not declared righteous by works of law, if not through the faith of Jesus Christ. Also, we in Christ Jesus did believe that we might be declared righteous by the faith of Christ, and not by works of law. Wherefore, declared righteous by works of law shall be no flesh. That's a bit complicated, right? But basically, he's telling you that you are justified, right, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at your modern translations, it has translated all that into faith in Jesus Christ, right? You're declared righteous by your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, he's declaring here that in the literal translation from the Greek, it says that you are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to the Old King James Bible, you will find that it actually uses the terms faith of Jesus Christ. And then when you go on to Galatians 2:20, it again says here, with Christ I have been crucified, and live no more do I. And Christ doth live in me. And that which I now live in the flesh, in the faith I live of the Son of God, who did love me and did give himself for me. That sounds complicated. But again, what he is saying is this phrase, in the faith I live of the Son of God. Right? So, in the King James, it has been translated that I live by the faith of the Son of God that I have received because he gave himself for me. Faith of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, you will find that the translators here, when it comes to Galatians chapter 3, they use both the faith of Jesus and faith in Jesus Christ, and we can make this distinguishment. All right? So, let's turn to chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 22. But the writing did shut up the whole under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to those believing. I'll read that again. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to those believing. Right? We believe in Jesus, but what is activated as we believe in Jesus is the faith of Jesus Christ for us. And so the promises of God are activated to us by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we, by believing in him, draw on those promises. Can you catch that? But if you look at verse 26, he says here, for ye are all sons of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. All right? So there's a clear distinguishment between the faith of Christ Jesus and the faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what I wanted to use here. All right? So what I would like to explain to you right now is that the faith of God is manifested to us through the faith of Jesus Christ. It is part of what is called the mystery of Christ. And through Christ, God's faith is explained into our lives. God's faith is explained into our lives. And if we can draw on God's faith, we can move mountains. And all we need is a seed faith. And that faith will grow. Are you listening? All right? So last week we talked about the mystery of faith. And the mystery of faith stands in the fact that there is an overriding faith of God that stands over the creation. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How did he give his only begotten Son? By faith, that the sacrifice of the Son will manifest the perfect world that God envisaged from the foundations of the creation. So God, in his omniscience, his all-knowing, manifests a faith that will bring forth what he already knows is going to be. Are you with me? And that is the faith of God. And that faith of God we can tap into in the name of Jesus Christ. That faith of God we can tap into and draw from in the faith of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I am going to die for your sins, right? And the disciples, right, were shaken. Right? They were sorrowful. Why is he saying that he is going to die, that he is going to be crucified? But Jesus Christ just makes the statement as a statement of fact in the cause of his ministry and the cause of training and teaching his disciples. He says, I will die. The Son of Man will be put to death and he will rise after the third day. So Jesus Christ is activating the faith of God that stands over his life, and he's making it manifest to his disciples. But they, instead of responding to what he is saying, they responded to their own flesh and they said, oh my goodness, this is terrible. Are you listening? Right? So as you listen to the word of God, God is doing something with the word of God. He's taking the word of God and he's explaining it to you through the faith of Jesus. He's explaining it to you through the faith of Jesus that is described in what is called spiritually the testimony of Jesus. So Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It manifests the spirit to bring forth fulfillment. And that spirit is the anointing, right? It is not the Holy Spirit. It will manifest the spirit that will bring forth the fulfillment. Now it's the Holy Spirit who is going to bring that forth, because Jesus said, in John chapter 16 verse 14 that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. And then he said in John 16 verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. And he will take of mine and he will explain it to you, or he will manifest it to you, or he will make it known to you. Okay? So all that the Father has is mine. And all that the Father has is meant to be manifested through the faith that God has for his creation. And the blueprint for that new creation is Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Right? So the Bible in the New Testament, Paul writes that, you know, Jesus Christ is like the first fruits of a new creation. Right? And so we are all meant to be manifested in his image and in his fullness. All right? And now this is why we can be saved, because we can draw, right, from the faith and love of Jesus for us what we don't have. So if you and I can receive and realize of the faith and love of Jesus, we can become all that God wants us to become. Now the faith and love of Jesus is a mystery to us. We don't know the faith and love of Jesus. And I keep reiterating that if you want to get into that faith and love of Jesus, you have to learn how to pray in tongues. Because you cannot intellectually get into it. Right? To get into the substance of that revelation, you have to pray in tongues. So Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the hidden things, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Now anything forever is of the substance of God. Are you listening? Hello. Man does not know what is forever. There is nothing you and I can do that can stand forever. You can work as hard as you want. You can pray as hard as you want. You can fast as hard as you want. You can memorize the Bible as hard as you want. Right? It's not going to keep you alive. Eternity comes only out of God. The eternal is a characteristic of God. Are you listening? So Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed to us belong to our sons and to us forever. That must immediately tell you that those revealed things must come out of God. And those revealed things are of God. And then he says, so that you may observe the words of this law. So in Deuteronomy 29:29, God is saying the result of what God is going to manifest in his substance into you is going to enable you to walk into the law. You're going to be enabled to do those things that are of the Lord. Are you listening? Right? And that is what is held in this reality called the faith of God. Now the faith of God is manifested to us in Jesus Christ. It does not come to us by any other way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am is a manifestation of the name of God. So Jesus, as he goes to the cross in John 17 verse 6, he says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. How does he manifest the name of God to us? By faith. By what kind of faith? By the faith that he has realized, right, from his God. And he's going to manifest that faith so that we too can walk into what God has for us as sons of God in the merits of the Lamb. Can you see that? And there's a whole universe that is possible for us. So we need to understand, is all that we need to understand is that this seed faith that God has planted to us inside of us as born again Christians has to grow. If it grows, you will see the power of God manifest through your lives. Amen. So what is God's faith over your life? One thing is that you will be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. So you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's what Jesus Christ said. Now how are you going to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? What are you going to do? How many days do you want to fast? And what do you know about the perfection of the Father? Absolutely nothing. We can see a little bit of it in Jesus Christ in the sense of what we understand. But the real perfection of God that Jesus Christ manifested as he went to the cross and he was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God is something that we can't comprehend. It's a mystery. Are you listening? It's a mystery. And so God has to make that mystery manifest to us. So he makes that mystery manifest to us through Jesus Christ. So let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 18. I want to read this from the New American Standard because it uses a word that I like very much because it opens a lot of light to us. John chapter 1, verse 18. John the Gospel. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God or the Son, depending on which translation you are reading, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Right? He has explained him. Now, how does Jesus Christ explain God to us? How does Jesus Christ explain God to us? Very simple. It comes out of faith. Okay? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And it says, by faith we understand. Hello? By faith we understand. So if we receive the faith of Jesus Christ, we will understand the way Jesus understood. Are you listening? Catch it? By faith we understand. That's a general statement. But if that faith was the faith of Jesus Christ, you will understand even as Jesus understood. Are you with me? And that faith of Jesus Christ is what enables us to understand Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Let's turn to that. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. I've done these verses several times before. The second half of that verse. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what do you come to? The knowledge of the Holy One. The knowledge of the Holy One includes the faith of the Holy One. Right? It includes the love of the Holy One. It includes the character of the Holy One. It includes the thought processes of the Holy One. You listening? Right? And faith is the conduit through which God communicates to us what we, by definition, can't understand in and of ourselves. Are you listening? That's why God demands that you have faith. Why? Because he says, when you come to me, you must believe that I am. Right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He who comes to God must believe that he is. He is. Right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Verse 6, rather. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Praise the Lord. So God communicates himself by expressing his faith into the realities of the world, of the creation. He explains himself to us by sending forth his Son as the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to explain God to us, so that we will come to understand that he is. Are you with me? So what is God's faith based on? God's faith is based on who he is and all that he is. God's faith will always be consistent with who he is and all that he is. God's faith will always manifest his will. That's why we need to move towards God's will. Because it is God's will that we become sons of God. It is God's will that we be saved. It is God's will that we be healed. It is God's will that we be consecrated. It is God's will that we be made holy. It is God's will that we may come into the reality of his peace. That it is God's will that we may come alive to his presence. It is God's will that you and I be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. Every great blessing in the Bible, every perfect and complete blessing in the Bible, every perfect and complete promise in the Bible is based on God's will. And God's will is what is revealed in his faith. His faith is always in consonance with what he wills in your life. So the Bible says you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a faith statement. They are, because the psalmist is writing what is in God. You are his son. And as far as he is concerned, you are perfect. God sees you in that perfection through his faith. He sees you in that perfection because Alright? In His omniscience, He has created you and fashioned you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, and He says, you are perfect, you are my son. And there is no sin in you. Now we sitting in the dimensions of space and time, and we are wondering, oh my goodness, does this really make sense? That's why you have to bridge the gap. Right? God is saying you are perfect. You and I are looking at our situations and circumstances, and we are saying, woe is me. Right? I can't even pray properly, and here is this. Here is Jesus Christ coming and saying, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So what is going to bridge that faith of God? And what we call is faith, right? What we believe in, right? So much of what we believe in is self-destructive, right? It destroys us, right? It's a curse, right? We believe that we are not, right? So many people believe that they are just fated, right? Whatever happens to them, it is just like that, right? When you think you are fated, that is an unbelief in God. That system that declares that we are all fated, right? Is a total and comprehensive denial that God is your Father, that God is your Savior, that God is your Redeemer, that God is your Healer, that God is your Sanctifier, that God is your God, right? It's a total and comprehensive denial. And that whole system of thought which says that you are fated has been created, right, through the thought process of one who has in his heart the intent of destroying everything that God wants to bring forth. So it's a battle of two different thought processes. One is destructive and dissipative, right? Not knowing the greatness of God, right? Or trying to hide the greatness of God, it tells you, you can become God. And people love to hear that, not understanding that there is no basis for you and me to become God because we are a bunch of creeps. But God, on the other hand, says, I can make you my son. And for that purpose, I have shed the blood of the Lamb over your life. I have expressed my faith and my love for you, right? Through the reality of a lamb I have sent to pay the price for you. And my faith has now paid a price for you. My love has now paid a price for you in the reality of the Son of Man, whom I sent as the Lamb of God to die for you. Are you listening? So in the faith and love of Jesus that stands in His blood, God says, I can make blood covenant with you. And in this blood covenant, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In that blood covenant, I'm going to bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In that blood covenant, I declare to you that you will come to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In that blood covenant, you who are so diverse and so, what shall I say, so much at warfare with each other, I will bring you into my peace and I will manifest my love so that you will become one people. Now all that is the faith of God. So when Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets is a reality that stands in the faith of God. Can you see that? Amen. And when you set your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets was manifested to you as the seed of Christ. And the seed of God's faith was planted inside of you. Can you see that? And you were born again. And in that process, God has opened to you to every blessing in the heavenly places. Having said that, you must also understand that the faith and love of God is also going to mold you and shape you and deal with all of those things that are destructive in your life. God is going to get rid of all of those belief systems that are a denial of Him. That are a denial of Him and that are a manifestation of things that are actually, absolutely, totally and comprehensively false. So the faith of God perseveres with us, knowing that He is more than able to make sons out of us. Although we are weak in ourselves, He is able to do it. And so you must always understand that your job, is to keep on pursuing the things of God, no matter what you feel like, no matter what your circumstances and situations are like, because you must keep on going so that the faith of God will continue to work into you realities that you do not know. See, the faith of God is trying to bring into you things that you can't comprehend. For instance, if you've been living a life of failure, and for 30 years you have been failing and failing and failing and failing, it is hard for you to comprehend the fact that God says you're going to be a roaring success. Am I right? Yeah. God says, I'm going to make you a roaring success, and we can't comprehend that. We look at ourselves and we see our weaknesses in the flesh. You know, we eat too much, we drink too much, we open our mouths too much, and we say all the wrong words. And God says that one day you will have a tongue that will bless the nations. And you find it very hard to comprehend that because you don't have a nature that even wants to do that. Hello? You only want to bless those who are a blessing to you. When people are your enemies, our first instinct is to destroy our enemies. Now, if God had destroyed his enemies, he would have destroyed the whole universe by now. Right? But God chose to express his faith for a new creation. And that's how salvation was birthed. Salvation is God's faith. God's faith for a new you and me. So David tapped into that reality by turning to the Lord, right? Even though he was a man who had great faith, he realized there was a world of a universe of a difference between God's, the reality of God and the reality of his faith. And so he declares in Psalm 54 verse 1, save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me or justify me by your power. Are you listening? So, see, David recognizes that something more than his faith had to be manifested for him to be able to realize what he knew God wanted to bring forth. Right? So he declares, oh God, you have to save me. Save me by your name. Save me by who you are and by all that you are. And vindicate me by your power. So between the name of God and the power stands the faith of God and the love of God. Are you listening? Right? In who he is, save me. In who you are, save me. And by the power that comes forth in who you are and all that you are, justify me. So how does the power flow? For power to flow, there must be faith. So God manifested his son so that the power of salvation could manifest, because nobody else had the faith to draw the saving power of God. It is God who saves. The son came and he said, yes, Lord, you're going to save. And you're going to save through my sacrifice. You're going to save the humanity through me. So the Son was God made flesh, but he came to fulfill a position as a man. And we theologically call that true man. And as true man, he manifested the faith of God in the state of a man. And he said, yes. And God said, yes, salvation can be manifested. But that salvation didn't simply manifest like a magician playing a trick. He didn't pull a rabbit out of a hat. He went to the cross. He lived in our situations and circumstances. He suffered. He was abused. Right? He ministered. He testified. Right? Of God's goodness in the midst of a world that was turned away from God. Are you with me? And so Jesus Christ manifested the testimony of Jesus. And through the testimony of Jesus, which was tried and tested through the cross, the witness and testimony of God's saving grace is available to us. Why are we talking about this? So that you understand absolutely, totally, that nothing can manifest of anything that is of God unless it is fulfilled in Jesus' name. Right? So if you try and think that you can justify yourself because you pray longer than other people, you've got it wrong. The only way you will be justified is if you pray in the name of Jesus, not because you pray long. Now, if you pray in the name of Jesus and you pray by the faith and love of Jesus and you pray long, then great and wonderful are your prayers. But if you are praying and trying to pray because of your willpower and because you want to get something for yourself, good luck to you. Your righteousness will never reach God's righteousness. You don't even know what the righteousness of God means. That's what we are trying to say. Everything that stands in eternity, if you and I are going to have eternal life, that is of the faith of God. It's like having a power line over your life throughout eternity. And in order to tap on that power line and draw energy and be able to realize that energy in your being, you have to hook into the faith of God. And the only basis on which you can hook into the faith of God is through the person of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can hook into the person of Jesus Christ is through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can you catch that? It's very simple. How do you electrify a town? Right? Right? From a power station, you will draw, right? Electrical power line, right? And then you will bring it back into that power station. It's just like a circuit, right? And then in that circuit, you will draw cables from that and you will electrify the individual needs of households or streets or towns or whatever it is. Simple picture. Right? Same picture. Is how we draw upon the faith of God. And the faith of God is what is good. That's why Jesus said, a little bit of the faith of God can move mountains. And if you have the faith of God, God will honor that faith all the time. But if your faith is not consistent with the faith of God, how can God give you a power like that? How can God manifest power like that? It will destroy everything, isn't it? Are you listening? Right? So as God takes you through your situations and circumstances, as God raises you in your ministries, right? As God molds you and shapes you in your relationships, the question is always whether you're willing to draw upon the faith of God and look beyond what you're going. Some people are just immersed by their circumstances. They're continuously being drowned and they can't get out of it. Some people don't even want to try to get out of it. They're just happy being just mucking around, right? If the devil cuts off one toe, it's all right. I still have four toes. It's all right. So he comes and he takes the next toe. It's all right. I still got three toes and I can still manage. So he comes and takes off one leg. It's all right. I can still walk on crutches. Right? He takes off one eye. It's all right. I still have another eye. Right? He takes the other eye. It's all right. I can still smell and I can still continue to eat. Right? Yeah? And we say it's all right, right? It's all right for me to continue to wallow in mud, and I'm not going to find the faith that can transform my life. And so many Christians make that choice. Yes, I'm born again, but nothing of that born again experience is allowed to be cultivated. I am going to heaven, right? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We will just sing about it and dance about it. When I'm feeling low, I will just find somebody who makes some nice melody and song and it feels good. It's okay. Doesn't matter that tomorrow morning I'm going back into the same boiling water. Right? And tomorrow morning the devil is coming after my wrist because he wants to take off that hand. Right? It's all right. I will come back and I will feel good and I will go back again. Hello? So what is all spiritual warfare about? The knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God based on? The faith of God for you. What is the word of God designed to manifest to you? Fundamentally, the faith and love of God. Faith so that you will be able to lock into realities that you don't understand. Love so that those realities can be brought to fulfillment. Because if you don't have love, you will be anything but, you will be destructive, right? So you need love in order to make that faith progressive, to make that faith fulfilling. Right? So God is talking to us and he's saying, right? In the circumstances and situations that you are in, are you willing to look for God? Are you going to sit down and chant to your misery? There's a Tamil word for it. It's called oppari. Right? And culturally, we are very good at that, isn't it? We can make a mourning sound and we even enjoy it. That's why we watch all those Tamil films which is all full of sorrow and misery. You pay money to watch sorrow and misery. It's amazing. Right? We are fated. So there's no other choice. That's what reality is. That's how it is. No, it's not. That's what God is trying to say. I have a different reality. I have a different reality. Yeah? So you and I have to learn how to see. To see, you have to learn how Jesus saw. Right? How did Jesus see Mary Magdalene? And how did the people of the law, the upholders of the law, see her? It was totally different. He saw her as a saint. And she is a saint today. The other turkeys only saw a pathway to stoning her to death. Guess who is in death and who is in life? Yeah? So it's a paradox, isn't it? So much of what is written in the scriptures is a paradox. So you and I have to realize this faith of God. And this faith of God is like a growing seed inside of us. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does that tell you? That God communicates faith through the word. In the New Testament, the word is manifested to you in a person. In that person, the law finds its rightful place, being fulfilled in his character and his nature. In him, right? Every demand of God, every expectation of God, right, comes to a realizable position. We can grow in God. Are you listening? Right. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you hear the word of God and you say, this is how I understand the word of God. That is not what hearing is all about. You've got to understand what God is saying from that word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we think we understand that God so much he loved us. Right? Like my father and my mother loved me, so you know. So he gave me Jesus. All right, so I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's not what God is talking about. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he could manifest a plane of reality above everything that was miserable in that world. And he manifested that plane of reality in the Son. And he's telling you that in the Son, this plane of reality exists. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So the faith of God was reciprocated with the faith of Jesus Christ, his love for God, his understanding of God's heart. And at that moment in which they drove spikes into his body, he says those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And he brings into being that reality of God's salvation, that he will take us and manifest us in a different plane. We can become sons of God in that plane. And as we grow in the Lord, as we begin to see God save us and change us and transform us and teach us and mold us and labor with us, we will begin to understand, my goodness, what kind of love is this? What kind of love is it that keeps on forgiving and keeps on persevering with me? What sort of a love it is this that was following me from pub to pub and from to places I should not have been over so many years, and protected me from seeing death when there was death lurking all over the place, and I somehow or other just escaped. Hello. And one day that love spoke into my heart, and I was born again. So one day that love spoke in my heart, and I said, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't even know why I said that, but in that moment I said it, and God took me at that point in time, and he opened to me a whole new universe. A universe birthed in his faith. A universe that is going to be developed in his faith. A universe that is a whole new reality. And he says in the book of Revelation, he will destroy the first heaven and the first earth. It will pass away. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God opened to you a new universe based on his faith. And he brought you into that universe based on the merits of the Lamb. And he said, I will give you that universe of new reality. There will come a time when the earth and the heavens will pass away. And I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be based on my faith. Amen. And I will bring forth a people who will be a bride for my son, who will be united to him in one flesh. And that one flesh is of the substance of the faith of God, manifested through Jesus Christ for us. Remember, faith is the substance of hope, right? Faith is the substance of hope, and that substance is what manifests in a heart of flesh. And that substance has a witness, and that witness of that heart of flesh is a witness manifested at the cross in spirit, water, and blood. And that witness in spirit, water, and blood is of the faith of God, manifested to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you see, as you develop the witness inside of you, as you realize what God has given you, right, it opens to you a new reality. You learn how to function by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. You learn how to do things in a different life. And some of you look totally bored about all this. That's sad. Well, try your best. Good luck. You're going to need it. But I thank God that there are those of you who can hear and understand the faith of God. The faith of God given to you in the testimony of Jesus. And if you can just turn to the Lord and ask Him to manifest that into you, you will discover what is grace. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. From verse 8 to verse 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Guess whose faith that is? That is the faith of the Lord for you. The faith of God expressed through Jesus Christ, through the cross. Jesus chose to save you through his sacrifice. It wasn't just sitting on a throne and saying, I'm going to save all these guys. Right? It was that decision was made on the cross. That decision to forgive was made on the cross, in the circumstances of the cross. That decision was made even as Jesus overcame darkness and he said, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And if the spirit of Jesus Christ had not been the spirit of holiness, God would have been defeated at the cross. So ultimately, the cross means that even God himself put himself at risk for you and me. So that's what the Bible means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it says here, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So when you are born again, theologians normally declare that as being a manifestation of something called prevenient grace. And now you can understand that that prevenient grace is because of the faith of God for you. Amen. Verse 9, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So which means when those works manifest, they are a result of God's faith finding its rightful fulfillment in each and every one of us through what Jesus has done for us. Can you see that? That we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So that seed faith is the faith of God manifested to you through the testimony of Jesus. How is that seed faith going to be manifested to you? Through the Word of God. So as you learn how to pray in tongues, you should get into the Word of God, and you must understand what you're trying to get into. You're trying to get into the substance of that Word so that it would be manifested to you in the witness and testimony of Jesus. And then God will be able to pay attention to what you are declaring to Him. It takes time. It takes time because God has to deal with the nature that surrounds us. So do not despise the things that God has to take you through in order to deal with your character and your nature, it is absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, the Lord tells us, remember me. Why remember him? Because it's all manifested in him. This new plane that we are talking about, this new earth and this new heavens, does not exist in any other reality except in the reality of I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as we partake of the bread, what is the Lord saying? I am the bread of life. What is he saying? You have to eat of me. You have to feed on me. You have to feed on that which is explained to you in my name, in my witness and my testimony. You have to eat of the word. So Jeremiah in chapter 15 verse 16, he says, I found thy word and I ate it. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16. I'm reading from the New King James, and this is what it reads. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Praise the Lord. I am called by your name. What does it mean to be called by the name of God? You are called by every reality that God has chosen to manifest in his faith and his love for you. And in that reality, you're going to be fashioned and formed and created as sons of God. Each one of us uniquely manifested in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that awesome? Now just think about that. How is it going to manifest? As you eat of the word. That word that is described and explained to you in the testimony of Jesus. So what happens through the word? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So when the word is manifested inside of you, it manifests in light. What is light? Revelation. What happens when you have revelation? You can see the way. So what's the third statement Jesus made? I am the door. And he said, you can go in and out of this door and find pasture. So you need light in order to be able to see the door, and you can go in and out and find pasture. But then Jesus comes around and he says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. So the next thing is that you must be led by the shepherd. You cannot just go out and do your own thing. You cannot just go out and do your own thing. You have to be led by the shepherd. It's a question of life and death. Praise the Lord. And what does the Lord say after that? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. So what happens in resurrection? New life is manifested. A new creation is manifested. That which is dead comes to life. And what that which is brought to life is no longer of the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. So through resurrection power comes new life. And that's the proof that what you are saying is truth. Or what you have received is truth. So all of us have changed. God has brought change in our life, and he has shown us, right, that he has brought that change inside of us. How did that change manifest? It manifested out of the faith of God, worked into your life through Jesus Christ, through the spirit and life of Jesus. And we have changed. Our nature has changed. Our desires have changed. Our free will has changed. Of course, there's a lot that still remains to be changed. But the important point is that a big start has been made, and there is so much of dramatic change that God has brought about. So what does the next statement Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I'm trying to teach you. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. When I become the way, the truth, and the life, you are now able to live by my faith. And then he says, right? Because you are now living by my faith, the final statement is, I am the true vine, you are the branches. And the fruit comes out of the branches. The branch draws everything out of the vine. 100%. That is a new creation. Are you listening? And that is what is the end result of God's faith. So what does Jesus say? He says that the Father prunes the vine, right? He prunes the vine so that it will bear more fruit. Now the pruning is not a comfort zone. So faith is not a comfort zone. Say, faith is something you have to go out and realize. You have to walk into what God is manifesting. Amen? So where is your current position? And the Lord is saying, you remember me. Understand what I have done for you. Right? Now you may not understand what exactly I have done for you, because what I have done for you is very deep and very great. But you need to turn to me. You need to lock into me. And you need to draw from me the faith that can enable you to get out of where you are and realize what I have for you. Amen. Hello, brethren. We are meant to become sons of God, a royal priesthood, a priesthood of kings, a prophetic people. And all that is going to manifest through the faith of God. Isn't that exciting? So have the faith of God. Possess the faith of God. You can possess it. Where do you possess the faith of God? That's what is called a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh constructed out of the word of the oath. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 28. The word of the oath, covenant. So the entire covenant is going to be constructed out of the faith of God. It's going to be constructed in your heart. And it's going to give you a position before God at all times, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Praise the Lord. So God's faith has a great purpose for you. So you have to battle to see God's purpose in your life. You've got to battle to get out of the mediocrity that we are invested with. How? Through false faith. Faith that believes that we are cursed. Faith that believes that we are just being, that there's nothing good that is going to come forth. I'm fated to unhappiness. I'm fated to destruction. I'm fated to unfruitfulness. I just don't have the brain power. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not good looking enough. I don't have enough charisma. I don't have this. I'm that. My mind is weak. There's a whole laundry list of weaknesses we can come up with. All that denies what God has ordained by faith over your life. And you have to break out and hook into the faith of God. I am a son unto you. And no matter how silly I may be, no matter how dumb I may be, no matter how ugly I may be, No matter how bumbling and fumbling I may be, Lord, your word says that I am your son and you will achieve that in my life. And so I choose to believe. I believe that you are a God who rewards me. I believe that out of the situations and circumstances of my life, I will see the victory of Jesus Christ brought to fulfillment. I will see his faith being performed in me and I will see his faith being performed through me. I will see his victory in my life. I will put on the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I am a son unto God. I am chosen and I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Although I may not understand what that means today, there will come a time when I will move in it. Your word says that you are the God of peace who will crush Satan under my feet, and I will see that come to pass. Amen. Are you listening? Right. So the faith of God is there. The faith of God is indestructible. The faith of God can never be changed. Nobody is going to change that. Because God is by nature and character immutable. He is unchangeable. Praise the Lord. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants you to leave the faith of God and move into something that will destroy you. So you and I have to fight that battle. So in Holy Communion, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating our position in Jesus Christ. We are celebrating the faith of God that is going to bring this Passover to fulfillment in our lives. We are going to stand in the Mount of the Lord, and we are going to be a royal priesthood. We are going to be manifested as sons of God, and we are going to be a blessing to the nations. Nothing is impossible with him who believes. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. But for you to believe, you must believe what God has ordained in his faith. If you believe in fairy tales, then your life will be a fairy tale. You will have something for a moment and it will seem good. When you are a 5-year-old child, you are thrilled at hearing fairy tales. But eventually it passed away. So you need to understand that you need to hear God's word and lock into the faith of God. And this is the only way you can lock into the faith of God. So what does Matthew say? You shall hear and you shall understand. Right? Mark says what? You shall hear and you shall accept the word of God. What does Luke write? You shall hold fast the word of God in a good and honest heart, and you shall persevere with it in the life that you live. And what will result from it? Groweth in 30-fold measures, groweth in 60-fold measures, groweth in 100-fold measures. What is 30-fold measure? 30 times 100%. Now those kind of growth rates on a sustainable basis are unknown to the human race, unknown to the technologies of man. But God says that in the faith of God, he has ordained for you growth in 30-fold measures, 60-fold measures, and 100-fold measures. The question is, can you leave your reality of the world and lock into the reality that God says, I can do it. I will do it. I have ordained that it is done. Now, one of the consequences of being a free will creature is that you can either accept or refuse. And ultimately, hell or heaven is a choice man makes. Ultimately, hell or heaven is a choice that man makes. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, you are making a choice between heaven and hell. If you remember the Lord, you have heaven and all that heaven can give you. If you reject Jesus Christ and think he was just a good man, and if you don't understand Jesus Christ in the faith of God, then you will only get what a man can give you, and then you will perish. Because no man can save you. Only God saves. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Praise the Lord. So as we remember, as we lock into this time of communion, remember that this is a time we celebrate in which Jesus Christ said with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Luke 22 and very quickly read. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Now what was the Passover all about? In verse 1 of chapter 22 it says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. Now, the feast of the unleavened bread, right, is in the new covenant based on the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, okay? So just remember that. All right. Then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What is he going to describe in that suffering? The faith and love that he has for you. The forgiveness that will set you free from every bondage of the world. But so often we just superficially accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We don't go into the power of that forgiveness. That power of his faith and love to change. Again, it's all a question of faith. Do you believe that the love and faith of Jesus Christ can change you or not? Your choice. Some people say amen and go after it. Other people say, oh, I'm going to heaven. Why else should I worry about it? So if you're still waiting for heaven to come in sometime in the future, then all you will have is a taste of hell. It's all a question of choices. Hmm? somewhere along the line in your life, you're going to find out the difference between victory in Jesus Christ and victory in the systems of the world. Somewhere along in your life, you will discover that the victory in the world will pass away. It will pass away entirely, totally, and completely. There'll be nothing left. You may enjoy it for a time and a season, maybe an extended time and a season, but it will surely pass away. But you can be assured that what God brings into your life in the victory of Jesus Christ, it will remain, it will continue to grow in your life forever. So when you are 70 years old, you will find the difference between what you have believed and what you have rejected. And you will experience it. Nobody can escape that. Okay. So choose to enter this Passover. Verse 16, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So that is the faith of the Lord. That it will be brought to fulfillment. Even as I'm going to rise up in 3 days, says the Lord, this Passover will be brought to fulfillment in your life. Took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Taking the cup and sharing it is a demonstration of the faith of Jesus that you have realized. That cup is a manifestation of the faith of Jesus in the witness that God has opened into you. Take it and share it among yourselves. And if you do that, you will celebrate the fruitfulness of that reality. Because the fruit of the vine come out in the sharing. If you don't share, if you just live a selfish, self-centered life, then there will be no fruit to celebrate. There will be no new wine to celebrate. Because the new wine comes out of the fruit. The fruit has to be crushed, and the fruit manifests the new wine that is new life. So many people just are born again and then they live like that without realizing the deeper things of God. Eventually, right, the reality of God just dwindles away. So share the cup. He took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What does that bread represent? The word of God explained to you through the life of Jesus. The word of God explained to you through the life of Jesus in the faith and love of Jesus for you. Praise the Lord. And that is what is going to make you living members of the body of Christ. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. So that new covenant is going to be constructed in the faith and love of Jesus, demonstrated for us through the shedding of his blood. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we celebrate this Passover in your faith that stands over it. You designed this Passover. You designed its purposes. You designed its outcomes. And Lord, it will come forth as you have designed it. There is not one creature in heaven and on earth who is going to change the design of this Passover. It will manifest in new heavens and the new earth. It will manifest in the sons of God being manifested in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. It will be manifested through your faith and your love for us. And as we celebrate the faith of Jesus that you have given us, we thank you, Lord, that the faith of Jesus explains to us the faith of our God. And through the faith of Jesus, we can come to realize a covenant that will enable us to stand in high places, stand in positions of great promise, stand in positions in which we will be a great blessing. We thank you that all this will be the demonstration of your faith over our lives. We thank you, Father. So bless and sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the unveiling of the fullness of Jesus Christ in his faith and his love for us, so that we will each be fashioned and formed in his image and in his fullness, so as to unveil as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that new creation, Father, will be entirely and exclusively a demonstration of your faith, communicated to us in the spirit and life of Jesus, by the workmanship of the Holy Spirit. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord's words to us are, have the faith of God. Isn't it amazing that you and I can have the faith of God? And that was really at the heart of God's every blessing and promise in our life. See, God gave his promise to Abraham, but Abraham did not have the faith to see that promise being brought to fulfillment. So God had to manifest his son through the cross and manifest a faith that will bring forth all of those promises. So Jesus Christ is called the seed of Abraham. So the seed of Christ is the seed of Abraham manifested to us in the name of Jesus. And we have everything that God's faith has ordained for us. Amen. Same with the promises God gave David. David had a heart for God, but it wasn't a complete heart for God. So, in Jesus Christ, God manifested a reality of a David who would really have a heart for God completely and comprehensively, so that he will do all of God's will. Praise the Lord. Right? And so you find that the faith of God is explained to us in Jesus Christ, so that we, through Jesus Christ, can realize everything that God has for us, every blessing that God has for us. You realize that God doesn't simply give a blessing like Santa Claus gives a blessing. You have to realize it, all right? So it's so important for you to realize it. 2,000 years have passed by since Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And so little has been achieved by the church because we have tried to do things in our own strength. It is the faith of God that has to be manifested in our lives. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. As we celebrate this Passover, as we celebrate, O God, the wafer that we carry in our hands, O Lord. Father God, it is prophetically an expression, O God, of the substance of the faith and love of Jesus, Father. The character and nature of Jesus, the fullness of him, Lord, in substance. The bread of the holy for our souls and the bread of the most holy for our spirits. And we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, in your faith communicated to us through Jesus Christ, communicated to us through the testimony of Jesus, communicated to us in the word explained in the testimony of Jesus, we receive the bread of life that will make us a new creation. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we thank you that this new creation is going to be fashioned out of a witness called the true and faithful witness in Revelation 3:14 and manifested to us in spirit, water, and blood. So we thank you that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ brings into our lives a reality of faith that will be expressed in a dynamic witness alive within us. And as we exercise that faith, Lord, in the witness that is alive in us, surely the mountains will move. And we will do it. We will have that conviction and that confidence of an unshakable faith. There will be no room for doubt. And that's what this cup represents, Lord. A witness that will have no doubt in who you are and in all that you are. In what you can do and what you can accomplish. We pray for this fulfillment to be manifested in each one of us that constitutes the body of Christ on earth and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.